You know, one of my favorite stories, and I've shared this before, and I'm just talking about it in 1 Kings, it's the dedication of the temple. When Solomon built the temple, and if you remember the story, God gave the plans, the design, what he wanted to David, his father. But David wasn't allowed to do the building. David wasn't allowed to see it completed. Solomon, his son, would be the one that would build the first temple of God, from a tent to a tabernacle to the building that he wanted to be built for them. And at the dedication service, he said this, 1 Kings 8:10-11. I want to read this. This is when the priest came out of the holy place, that's like the inner part of the temple, it says, a cloud filled the house of the Lord. So the priest could not stand to minister of the cloud, because of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. See, this place, all its ministries are nice chairs. Everything that you see here, it's just a tent. It's just a tabernacle. Without the presence of God, without God's presence here, without Him showing up, it's just a place. And we want it to be so much more for us. We said it last week that this is the house that Jesus built. It's His church, and we got to sing that today. And He does the building here. We're the workers, but He does the building. He does the growing. He makes things happen. And in 1 year, as you saw on the slideshow, God has showed up. There's been great days of God's faithfulness to us here at Kingdom Church. We've seen some salvations. We've seen some baptisms. But honestly, I believe God is preparing us for so much more. That we haven't just finished the race, we just finished a lap of what He has called us to do. A couple of weeks ago, I shared the word that a friend of mine, Pastor Mike Honer, gave to me. Mike's here today with his wife Monique. They're in back here. You guys give him a wave. And I shared the word that Mike gave to me in 2022, that there would be this thing that would happen on October 1st, 2023, and that very thing happened on that very day. But the second part of Mike's word was that we were birthing something, and that after we birthed that thing, 1 year later, there would be that season of the second season, and that God has more in store for us. And so I'm excited Mike's here to be a part of that and join with us and believe that. I believe that just like when you're cooking a big meal, right, and you're in the kitchen, right, and you do all the prep work, like Thanksgiving's on the horizon. You know, today's November 3rd, right? We only have a few weeks to go. You don't just show up and the turkey's ready. There's preparation that needs to be done. I believe this year has been a year of preparation for us. And I know some of you have been on the journey for all 5 years when we were a campus. But honestly, as a church, we are 1 year old. And I'm very proud of where God has brought us and where we are at today. Amen? And today we're going to celebrate a little bit of that, because I don't believe the work is done. Nehemiah 6 tells the story of Nehemiah, who got permission to travel back to Jerusalem and begin rebuilding the walls that had been destroyed. The whole city had been destroyed, and it broke his heart, and God said, ask, and he did, and he was sent to rebuild. But in chapter 6, verse 1, it says, now when it was reported to Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arab and to the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall, that no breach was left in it, although at the time I had not installed the doors and the gates. See, just because you finished the wall, which was a great feat in itself, and it came with all kinds of positive things, the Arabs begin to hear about it, the people in the region begin to know about it, he knew his work was not finished. And I believe that's a word for us today at Kingdom Church, that the work is not yet done. The wall brought stability and strength and security in unity. It was a testimony of God's faithfulness. And honestly, it was the starting place for where God was going to take them next. Because the gates that he was going to do, the doors that he was going to build, was going to rebuild all of what Jerusalem was supposed to be. And I believe, like we said last week, there is building yet to be done here. We have laid a foundation, but there is more for us yet to do. There are 12 gates. There were 12 gates in the city of Jerusalem to commemorate the 12 tribes, or as a representation, the Damascus Gate, the Jaffa Gate, the New Gate, Zion Gate, the Herod Gate, the Lion Gate, the Golden Gate, the Horse Gate, and my very favorite, the Dung Gate. 12 gates were installed, and when those gates would be installed, they would become the way to come and go. They would become the entrance into and outside of the city of Jerusalem. See, we want Kingdom Church to be a place where people come and go. We want it to be a place where the lost are found. And the found aren't lost, but the lost are found, that people come and we go. We come here, we get built up, we get sent out to be all that God is. We want also that this would be a place like it was, the gates and the doors in Jerusalem, a blessing, a place of resource here, a place of preparation for the saints. We want this to be a place where His presence is present. Amen? We want it to be a place of protection. And what that means is that we have work cut out for us, church. I got a couple shovels over here, and they're part of my message because I believe we have to do some digging. Who's ready for a little more work? You know, I think the temptation is, just like it was for Nehemiah, is to quit. To say, well, we got the wall done. And the wall was a big feat, because this wasn't just any wall in Jerusalem. It was this wall that protected the entire city. And so the temptation is that, just like for Jeremiah, we can think, wow, we have an amazing building. We have a place here in Gilbert, Arizona, a place where we get to come and worship together on Sunday mornings, Wednesday nights. We have classes and youth, and we have ministries that happen all during the week, all over the city. And we can get tempted into believing that we've arrived. You know how that feels? But I believe that our challenge, the challenge that God has put on my heart, is that there is work yet to be done. There is digging yet to be done. It's time to dig, church. I've shared part of this story before when I was a kid, because I grew up in a construction family, and Dad always had me as his cheap labor. I would sometimes call it slave labor, because I think I worked for Big Macs many times, and I wasn't paid at all. And that's good. Young men and women, you should help your parents out anytime they ask you. You like that? All you moms and dads are like, amen. But I remember this one time in a city called Castro Valley. It's in the San Francisco Bay Area. My dad was working on an addition to a house, and we needed to build the footings around the house. And the footings needed to be 3 feet deep and about 18 inches wide. And that doesn't sound that big, right? But it was 100 linear feet. 100 linear feet. That means 100 feet around to make the garage and the addition that we were doing. And I remember vividly today, it became the moment in my life when I said, I will not be what you are, Dad. I love you, but I'm not going to be in construction. I'm not going to dig ditches anymore. And it wasn't just because I had blisters that day. It just, like, I knew that this was not for me. But I remember he left me alone to dig alone. Anybody ever dig a hole alone? It's lonely, right? And you start talking to yourself, right? You start having all those conversations. And all I remember is about every 2 to 3 hours, I'm not sure what he was doing, if he was at the donut shop or he was working on another project, he would come back to the house where I was working, and he had his tape measure. And he would open it up to 36 inches, and he would go like this into my hole that I had been digging. And he would look at me and he'd go deeper, Brian. And I remember over and over throughout the, like, several Saturdays that I would work there, my dad would come back, and he'll be here in a couple days, so you're welcome to fact check me, because I tell stories about him a lot. He'd come back and he'd look at me and say, you got to go a little deeper. 34 inches is close. 34 inches, it might seem okay, but we have to put rebar in here, and the code for this city requires that we have X amount of space between the rebar and the concrete, and he knew the formulas. He was a dangerous engineer, I called him. He never had an engineering degree, but he knew how to build a house. And he kept telling me, Brian, you need to go deeper. And that word just resonated with me as I was preparing my message for today, that God is saying to us, Kingdom Church, that He has more for us, and it's time for us to go deeper. I brought some shovels with me today to show you that and to be a reminder. I actually don't mind digging when I don't have to. I'm a good helper. Like, if someone has a project, oh yeah, sure, I'll come over. But when it's like my own holes, hate it. Hate them. Hate digging it. Last week, I read this scripture to you, Luke 6, 46 through 48. It says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and acts on them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid a foundation on the rock. We talked last week about the rock, right? That rock is Jesus, right? And we talked about the bedrock, right? And when a flood occurred, the torrent burst against that house, could not shake it because it had been built, it had been well built or built well. And I want us to focus today, because this is the word that God has given me for this entire year, is that he has called us to deep things, church. Not just because it's cool, not just because, well, that sounds so neat, Pastor. No, because I believe that there is such a time as this, that we are in a season where it's not just about our house, it's about the house, it's about the church. And if we are not solid in who God has called us to be, if we are not deep in the things of God and understand them, we will be shaken. You've seen it all around us. We've seen what's happened in our nation when it comes to the culture that we are living in. If we are not tethered to the deep things of God, we will be knocked down. That is our word for today. And so, if you've joined us today as a guest, welcome. You didn't just join us on our birthday, but you joined us on our Vision Sunday. Amen? Yeah, so you get two for one today. We get to celebrate. You got a key. You get a cupcake. But I'm going to cast a little bit of vision about what God wants to do. And this word God dropped in my spirit, and so I'm going to read a scripture to you from Genesis 26 to talk about digging things. And it's a story about Isaac, and he's re-digging some wells that his father Abraham had established in their land. 26, verses 17 through 22. It's on the screen. You want to follow along with me. It's just verse 22, so let me get to that. It said, so Isaac departed from there and camped in the valley of Gerar and settled there. When Isaac dug again the wells of water, which had been dug in the days of his father Abraham, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. So Abraham died, they filled in the wells, and he gave them the same names which his father had given them. But when Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of flowing water, the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with the herdsmen of Isaac, saying, that water is ours. So he named the well Essek, because they argued with him. It probably means they argued. When they dug another well, and they quarreled over it too, so he named it Sitnah. Then verse 22, this is what I want to hang on here today. Then he moved away from there, and he dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it, so he named it Rehoboth. For he said, at last, the Lord has made room for us. We will be fruitful in the land. So let me grab a couple quick nuggets out of this well-digging story that we find in Genesis. Number one is that some wells need to be dug again. See, sometimes you need to go through a remodeling project. Sometimes you gotta ask yourself the tough questions about how you're doing ministry, how you're living your life, if you're tethered to the truth of God's word, if you're being challenged by it. Because if you are out in the world and the world does not seem off to you, there's something wrong. If you turn on the TV and watch a TV show, or heaven forbid the news, right, and that doesn't do something in your spirit, then that should be red flag for you that you need to be back in your word and your time of prayer, right? And so sometimes we need to redig the wells. We need to make him famous again. We need to value truth and reach the lost and understand that we are in the very end times of the end times. We can live with blinders on, but it's right in front of us. Number two is that some wells need to be walked away from. I believe there are seasons in your life where you have dug well, where you have done good work, and there are seasons when God will move you on. And there's also times when you might be attending church that's not biblical. That it might be one of these churches that I've preached about a few times that has become woke and that has allowed culture to seep into the pulpit of a church. If you ever walk into one of those churches, I heaven forbid you do, and if you're visiting today and you attend one, get up, run for the doors. Sometimes we need to walk away from some wells. We do. Number three is that some wells need to be new. Amen. You know, the first two wells Isaac built, but this well came from God. And that's why we say all the time that church planting, new things are the best way to reach the lost. Amen. Happy birthday, Kingdom Church. That's why we do what we're doing. That's why we're here right now. And it said that God made room for us, Isaac speaking there. That word actually means that it was wide and broad. See, when God makes a way for you, it's wide and broad. A place for your church to be, a place for that well to be. Not the way to him. We know that way to him is through the person of Jesus, right? It is narrow through him. And lastly, is that it says that God will provide the fruit. When they dug the well where God appointed them to do, there was fruit that came out of it. That's a natural overflow. Now, let me give you a little 401 about well digging. I've told this story a couple times, but it's a story about a lady from the Midwest, and she traveled to Australia on vacation, and she went to the Outback, famous Outback. And, you know, Australia is an amazing place, and it's nine of the top 12 deadliest snakes are found in Australia, kind of thing. She was in the Outback, and she was visiting a rancher, and she just loved it, loved the scenery and everything that she saw. And she says, I just have one question for you. I noticed that you have no fences. And the rancher said, oh yeah, we don't have fences in the Outback here. And she said, being a good old Midwestern girl growing up on farms, she said, well, that, how do you keep your cattle from like wandering off to someone else's farm? And he said, well, out here in the Outback, water is super rare. And so what we do is we dig wells and we don't build fences. Because see, when you dig a well and there is fresh water for the livestock to drink, the livestock will only go as far as the well is from them. They won't wander off because they know their life sustenance is back at that well. Come on, church, that'll preach for you, right? And that's my heart. That's my heart for us, that we would be a place that is not about protecting what we have, but we would dig wells, a place where the living water of Jesus, the gospel message of who he is, would overflow and people would want to come and be here and hear that word, to go back out and share it with someone else. Amen. That's what he has called us to do. And so hold on to that neg a little bit, because just well digging in general, let me talk to you about that. If you've ever dug wells, it's about getting water that's underneath us. And maybe you've never thought about that, but underneath us, depending on where you live in the country, in the world, it's about 80 to 100 feet, give or take, down below us is what's called the water table. And literally, it's like a river or a lake of fresh water that flows underneath us. Wrap your mind around that. And so when you want to dig a well, you have to dig to that 80 to 100 feet here in Gilbert and Chandler area to hit the water, the fresh water. If you stop early, you'll get a mixture of water. You won't get like the fully filtered water. And the good water requires that you go deep. See, I believe what's happened in churches and at church in general is that they haven't gone deep enough. You know, the filtration process that happens, that water that we pump up or we use a well to get from is really, really clean water. And that's because the way God created it, right? God is amazing. That the water will land and it'll saturate down through the soil and the rocks. And when it does that, it cleans it. It purifies it. It removes all the ugly things that we put in water, right? And then when it gets down to the water table, it's pure, it's clean, it's good water, it's living water. That's how you do that. Less contaminants. And that's the challenge for us as we are digging deep. Do we go deep enough? Do we want to be a place that is only going 50 feet down in the spiritual sense? Or do you want to be a place that's going to the living water of who Jesus is? That's what God, I believe, He has called us to do. Now, I've grown up around pools and had pools at most of the houses I've lived at. And I swam in high school. I wasn't very good, but, you know, I like something was chasing me, kind of swimmer, you know. But I did finish most of my races. But we know when you go to a pool, they always have signs posted around the pool, right? And this last summer, I was blessed by watching some of my grandsugars, and we were at our house, and we were swimming, and they were being crazy. And I said, okay, we got three rules here today. Number one is that there's no running, because I don't want anybody injured today, you know, tripping and falling. Number two, there's no screaming, because Papa cannot handle it when you're screaming bloody murder. I don't know if you're drowning or not. So we had that. And I can't remember what number three was. I've asked Amy. No splashing, maybe? Yeah, I didn't have goggles on. And, you know, you've seen those signs. My favorite is, you know, please don't pee in our pool. We don't swim in your toilet. But probably the most important sign that you remember when you go to, you laughed at that, when you go to the pool, it says, do not dive in the shallow end. Right? You've all seen that. Yeah, you know that. Because what happens, if you dive in the shallow end, you get hurt. And in the spiritual sense, when we stay shallow, we become ineffective. When we are just surface, when it comes to God's Word, and we know a little bit of the important parts of God's Word, and we can sing a good song, but when we are afraid to go to the deep end of what God has called us to do, I believe that it is a dangerous place for us. It's a dangerous place for churches. And as a church and a body of believers, I believe that God has called us to the deep things. I believe He's saying, get in the deep end now. It's time to go to the deep things. And Matthew 5, 14 through 16 says, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a map and put it under a basket, but a lamp, but on the lampstand, and in it gives light to all who are in the house. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they can see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. See, God has called us to be a light to the city. That's what He has called us to do. When we talk about the deep things of that, He has called us to be a place of hope and love and truth. He's called us to be a place that we do not compromise God's Word, that we stand on the truth of who He is in grace, but we stand on the truth of that. About 6 months ago, a place that was completely counter to who we are in the spiritual sense opened up a couple doors down here. I don't even know what it was called, but the things that they posted in the windows that they were going to do, we decided it's time to pray that that place does not succeed. And we begin to pray as a leadership and a team that that place would not succeed. And you know what happened recently? It closed. They didn't even make it like 4 months. And because God has called us to be a light in the city, He has called us to be a place where truth stands true and not to compromise with what's going on around us. Matthew 28, 19 and 20, you're familiar with this. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, right? Teaching them to follow all that I command you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Go back to the top end. Go therefore and make disciples. God has called us to make disciples. This year, you know, we added Pastor Dan to our team to help us with discipleship, and we rolled out a new discipleship program. We have 11 amazing students that show up every Wednesday night to go to the deep things of God. And I'd encourage you that no matter where you're at on your journey or your walk, that if you want to go deeper, you start looking for the signups for 2025. They'll be coming here soon, because we're going to kick off another level of our discipleship program and repeat the first level here in the next couple months. But did you know all of you, all of us, are a product of someone who dug a well deep? Did you know that? We all are a product of someone who was discipled, and they shared the truth of Jesus with us. And you walked into a church, or you met someone somewhere, and they shared the truth of who he was. We are all a product of someone who dug deep. I want us to be that kind of people. I want us to be disciples, and we're constantly raising up the next generation. Matthew 4:19 says, "And he said to them, follow me." Someone's out in front. "I will make you fishers of people." God, it's the massage place next door, I know it, you know. They came back. God has called us to be fishers of men. And I'll be honest, I love eating fish. Come on. I love a good salmon or trout or bass, but I really hate fishing. I mean, I like going fishing when someone else puts the bait on the hook. I'm a lazy fisherman, right? I've been to Alaska a few times, and I'm smitten now, like, because they have those guys on the boat, and I'm like, hey, could you put that bait on there for me? And all I have to do is go like this, and just wait, and then I pull it up and act like I really worked hard. That's my kind of fishing, when you don't have to touch the bait. But God has called us to go after the people, that he has not just called us to be a place of entertainment. He has not called us to be a place where we come on Sunday morning and I entertain you, because I'm not that good. He has called us to be fishers of men, all of us, to go out and reach the lost of our worlds. We say here that we love God, we love people, and we love community. That's all of us. And it doesn't just happen here on a Sunday morning. Amen? We have to be fishers of men. Let me round home here with you. Matthew 25, 34 through 36. I want to share a little bit about what God's put on my heart for this next few years. "Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you invited me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me, and I was in prison, you came to me." One of Jesus' favorite parables that I love to read, because it's about the end times. It's about the end of time when he says this is his people, these people, they will do that. And his audience said, "Well, Master, we don't remember when you were naked and hungry and thirsty and in prison." And he said, "When you do these things to the least of these, the people that are hurting and needing in our communities, when we do them, it's like we're doing it to him." I got to believe that moment wrecked a lot of people, because they were following him and they were thinking, oh, we're all in to this Jesus thing. I'm all in to where he's going and what he's saying. I believe in him and I love him. But when he said that your faith has to be connected to some action, your faith has to have legs to it and hands, your faith has to be about helping the least of these two, I'm sure it rocked a bunch of them, because they thought, oh, I'm just going to cozy on up to the Savior here. But the Savior has asked you and I to go outside of this place and to be the church to the lost and hurting world. In the next couple of months, in the beginning of 2025, we're going to launch a couple new ministries. One is Kingdom Cause, and Kingdom Cause is going to be our ability to receive offerings above and beyond the tithes so that we are prepared to respond to any need. To respond to any need. That means that when we hear about a hurricane, we just write a check for $5,000 and send it. When we know a ministry in our neighborhood needs help, we just write a check and we help them. When someone in our community needs benevolence, we just write a check and we do it because we have prepared properly. We have dug deep and we have set aside the resource to say that that is part of the calling on this house, not just to do Sunday mornings, but to do more than that, kingdom cause. It's going to be part of what we'll share at the top end of this year. And then we're also going to be sharing what we're calling kingdom impact. And that's our what I would call our outreach ministries, both locally and globally. This week, we started our first Thanksgiving food drive as part of Kingdom Impact. We haven't labeled it that way yet, but there's a table on your way out there that has some beans and rice in it. And we're going to provide Thanksgiving meals to approximately 100 or 120 families that are part of the Jumpstart Ministries. That is a ministry that does a sidewalk Sunday to these kids that are disadvantaged in our neighborhoods here in North Chandler. Pastor Miguel and Shannon actually spoke yesterday at that ministry. And I know some of our youth go there and help serve, and I'm excited about that. So we have a couple weeks to do that. So grab one of these on the way out. Get involved. Because I believe God has called us to be impactful, to impact the communities that we're a part of. Secondly is that we have begun the process of praying about what God has called us to do globally. Because I believe that part of that great commission that I read earlier today says to go all around the world, to all the peoples, all the nations. That is part of the calling that He has put on our lives to do that. And so we will be doing that. And today we have some missionaries in our midst. And I wish they could have spoke today, but it's a celebration. But I just want to introduce Matt and Debbie Mann. They're here today. So go and give them a wave, guys. They are friends of mine that I met in Botswana last year, and now they are missionaries to South Africa. They're here for a year itinerating. They arrived last night, and they came to Kingdom Church today to join us. But we are excited to have you guys, and it's an honor. Missions is big on my heart, and the church knows that. And so we're excited about how we can partner together, and Matt and I are going to try to connect this week and talk about what's next for us. Because really, the slate is clean about the impact that Kingdom Church is going to do. So good to have you today with us. We want to kick off some young adult ministries and singles ministries, and we just need leaders to help lead those things. But I believe that God has called us to so much more, church, that He has called us to the deep things of God, and it's now our turn to do that. God laid on my heart that over the next 2 to 3 years, part of the vision of this house is that we're going to leave this place. I say that boldly because I believe that God has called us to our own permanent building. We pay a lease. We rent this place every Sunday. It feels like it's ours, and it is, but we have to pay rent. And I believe that God has called us to a unique place. God has actually given us a building in my mind already. As your pastor, I'll say this, but 5 years ago, 6 years ago, when we were talking about planting a church, we drove by a building and looked at a bunch of buildings, and God said, that building right there. We stopped in to look at the building and found out that the building was already under contract and someone was selling it. At that time, they were only selling it for $1 million. But since that time, that building got remodeled, and it was going to become a brewery, like a craft brewery. It took them a year to do it. But on the day that they were going to open, the person who owned that brewery passed away unexpectedly. And so that building is laid vacant now for the last 2 years, 2.5 years. And it says leasing on in front, for sale. And it's out of our price range. It is a God thing, but I believe God has called us to that place. Because I believe God wants to use us in a way that helps us go deep and raise up more leaders to reach our community. That's what He has called us to do. Amen? Are you with me on that? Let me land the plane with this. I believe that, church, it's all about His presence. I read this verse, 1 Kings 8, 10 through 11, when I started my message. It says, when the priest came out of the holy place, a cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord. I believe that God has called us to be set apart, to be not just like every other church, but be a place where the presence of God is present all the time. So when people walk in from the street, when they drive by, they don't know why, but they pull into the parking lot. When they walk in, they feel the presence of God like never before. It changes their lives. I believe that's the calling that God has on our lives. That's why I just encourage you to be a part of our Kingdom Nights this coming week, because I believe God is going to show up in a powerful way. And this is just the beginning, church. Are you excited about that? This is just the beginning. I'm going to ask you to stand. Here's your challenge for today. I gave you all a key. And you can say, that corny pastor, he stamped little KC on here. And this key is a key to nowhere because it's a blank. But I believe that it's a key that represents your responsibility as a part of this church. And wherever you hang it, if you hang it on your keychain or from your rearview mirror or use it as a bookmark in your Bible, I want it to be a reminder that God gave us the keys to the house. It's not about me. It's His church. And He said, what you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. What you loose on earth will be loose. We sang it today. He has given us the keys to the kingdom of heaven, church. What a great responsibility, right? So don't take it as just something, just some gift we gave you. Take it with the seriousness that God has called us to deeper things. Amen? Amen. Are you excited about that? Hey, before we wrap up, we always like to take a moment to make sure if there's someone here in our presence that maybe you don't know Jesus. Maybe you've heard all this message today and you've been in church, or maybe you have never been in church and you walked in today and you have never made a decision to follow Jesus. Well, the Bible tells us that all of us have sinned. That means that we've all been out of relationship with God. And I'll just tell you, there is no sin. There's nothing that you have done that He can't forgive. Did you know that? You cannot go too far from Him. His sin, His forgiveness of our sin will cover anything in your life, everything in your life. And so if you've sat here today and you thought to yourself, well, that's not for me, I just want you to know it is for you. And don't wait another day. Maybe you've walked away from God. Maybe you had a relationship before and things went bad and you're like, I need to be back in relationship with God. Because before I can go deep, I need to be in relationship with Him. The Bible tells us that we've all sinned and fallen short, right? And it says that the wages of that sin is death, but He says that He made a way for us. Romans 10:9 declares that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised Him from the dead, we will be saved. He didn't tell us to do anything else. He made a way for you and me. Pastor Lynette said it right, that He loved us that much when He hung on the cross. He took His sin, and He just said, repent. That's all that He's asked us to do. Repent and believe. So if you're here today and you have never declared that, don't wait another day. Today is your day. I believe that. I believe in today days. And so I'm going to ask you all to bow your heads and close your eyes. And if that's you, can you just repeat after me this statement, this prayer here? And church, let's join in together, and all of us do this. Dear Jesus, I've sinned. I've done things that are wrong. Please forgive me. I know that You died for my sins, and I believe You rose again. I ask You now to come into my heart, to be my Lord and my Savior. I promise to follow You the rest of my life. I ask these things in Your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, look up here. If you made that decision or declaration today, welcome to the family of God. We are so excited for you. And on your way out, please stop by our next steps or come this way. We'd love to hear your story. We have a gift for you. We have a Bible and a journal and a Following Jesus booklet we'd love to put in your hands. But welcome to the family of God. Hey, Kingdom Church, happy birthday. Yeah, and as we're heading out that way, please take one of those Denver Broncos cupcakes, because I'll throw them all away when we're done, and give them to your kids, or I will. And then if you need prayer today, we know that during a message, maybe you heard something, you just need someone to pray with you. Some of our prayer team will be up front. Pastor Lynette, myself, we would love to connect with you. And if you're new, come see us. We'd love to just shake your hand and say hello. But have an amazing day. Happy birthday. God bless.